Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Chop Sports Daily, coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio in Matawan, New Jersey. And, of course, I am in the Dave Cave for the rest of this week as I tend to the little guy. But we are back. It is, what's today? Thursday, November Thursday. 11th. And first and foremost, happy Veterans Day. Let's give a first shout to our veterans. And, of course, thank you for all your service and everything that you guys have done for us so we can do stuff like this. So that's my little intro. First of all, I will also say that the Flipping Made Easy studio, I said that already, but guys, flippingmadeeasy.com, go check those guys out for all your flipping house needs. Basically, it's not just how to, it's like a crash course if you want to get into that line of work, which I might, because certain things ran out today, Gooch, and I'll talk to you after that off air. So the cash flow needs to increase. So flippingmadeeasy.com. Welcome, Chris. How we doing, bro?
I'm doing good. I had a late night last night. I couldn't fall asleep. I was stuck between sweating my balls off because where I sleep is so hot when the heat is on, and watching the Laker game and the Golden State game. The NBA, I don't really like watching the early games, but the late games, man, Golden State, the Lakers, Portland, those are my teams that I'm following this year because I'm always kind of sitting down around 10 p.m. to watch basketball. Mm-hmm. And bro, Golden, have you watched any Golden State this year?
No, I watched the Knicks lose though.
So. 10-1. I think they're 10-1. Nobody's talking about them. I'm not saying nobody's talking about them, but nobody's talking about Steph as he's the MVP right now. I know it's 10, 15 games into the season, but Jesus Christ, bro. This team was the 9 seed last year because they had that play-in game with the Lakers, mm-hmm. but they're not even fully healthy. And I'm worried for anybody out west that has to deal with Golden State once Klay Thompson comes back.
I mean, you have the LeBron, you know, the Los Angeles LeBrons over there with that super team. So do you like how Golden State stacks up against them?
Yeah, because of the youth, and they're just up and down the court. They have guys that are coming out of nowhere. Gary Payton, I don't know if he's junior or the second, but that dude could jump out of the gym. They shoot threes. They run. They even have a little bit of size. They have like a point forward with Draymond, who honestly really been a big fan of Draymond Green. I thought that his success was as a result of having those guys spread the floor. But seeing him play this year, Draymond Green is legit. He's like an actual point guard out there, and he plays great defense. Golden State is the team to beat, I think, in the entire league, let alone out west.
So you watched a little of the Warriors. I watched a little of, obviously, I saw the Knicks. I've turned them off. They were down 20, and then, you know, I find out, oh, they came all the way back. Let me turn them back on. You know, I'm not like a Fairweather fan by any stretch, but like when you're down 20 late, it's like, all right, like there's got to be other things that I can actually, you know, lift my spirits and rather, you know, get, what is the mitten? What is that?
The mitten, I would imagine that's Gary Payton's son's nickname.
The glove.
So the glove is now the mitten.
Okay. I love it.
Did you hear Gary Payton's comments about his son? He was like, yeah, he's way more athletic than me. I don't actually think he's my son. I think the mailman stopped by one day because I don't know where he got his athleticism from.
I mean, Gary, you played in the NBA, bro.
Yeah.
and you were really good for a long period of time.
He's accusing his wife or ex-wife. Not sure their marital situation of banging the mailman. There's a lot of that in this episode. We're going to get to other NBA stars getting their wife banged out by rappers.
We're going to get into it. And obviously, like I said, I watched the Knicks. They came all the way back. They tied the game, and obviously they lost by 12. So no go on that one. Then I turned on AEW for a little while. I do watch some pro wrestling from time to time. It's been a long time since I watched any actual Raw or SmackDown. It sucks because it's like I used to be such a big fan, and then they like fired everybody. I know you're not knee deep in this.
You notice how as you brought up AEW, I'm like, I know I have to still research this one article that for this episode. So I was like, oh, while Dave talks about wrestling, I'm gonna do my research here. Are you talking to Scoop? No, I got it. I'm pulled it up. But yeah, run that back, Dave. Sorry.
I'm just saying, I was watching AEW. I haven't watched WWE in a long time because they've like literally released everybody, fired everybody, budget cuts. I don't know, man. It's I think maybe Vince and his family are just kind of like over it, and they're just like, we'll sell eventually. You know what I mean? So a lot of those guys, a lot of the talented, super talented dudes are down at AEW now, along with a lot of the fresh crop of guys. Anyway, I watched AEW a little bit. Then last night, I got into this mode where I'm like, all right, I'm awake. You know, my son is awake, so I'm just like, there's no way I can go to sleep, you know, so I got to find something. I go on Amazon Prime, And I start looking around and I'm like, no, I don't want to watch this. I've seen this a million times, blah, blah, blah. And then under the category of like young adult, which I don't even know what that means. I guess like teenagers. I don't know.
That's kind of how I view myself. Even though I'm going on 50. I'm a young adult.
So I watched Sidekicks. Did you ever see Sidekicks?
Is that with Chuck Norris?
Yes. Chuck Norris then, and yes, the other heartthrob.
Of course. It's. I wouldn't go that far. But yes. Was it Jonathan Brandis? Is he dead?
Yeah, he died. Yeah, that, not to bring it down, not to bring the tone down a little bit, but yeah,
well, that's dead. What I'm for.
Yeah, of course you are. But yeah, I watched Sidekicks last night. Great movie, great film. Watched it through and through, and I'm just like, I can't believe, dude. There was a period of time. I guarantee you, I watched that movie every third day. You know, like it was that much of a fun movie for me as a kid. Came out when I was 7. You were already 20, so maybe you weren't a young adult when this movie dropped. But anyway. There is other things to get to, obviously. Tonight is Thursday, Thursday Night Football. We'll get into that in a minute. But a couple things popped up yesterday that you actually informed me. I read a tweet on Twitter. Well, I guess that's where you read your tweets. I read a tweet from Incarcerated Bob. If you don't follow Incarcerated Bob, do yourself a favor. Go follow Incarcerated Bob. And also follow me and Gooch. Gooch is he's begging. He's foaming at the mouth. He needs followers. So get over there and follow Gooch on the tweet. By the way, did you find out, did you hear about, the Twitter Blue? Did you read about that?
No.
Twitter Blue is now a paid service for Twitter where you can edit tweets and there's like different.
How much does it cost? Because I delete like 3 tweets a day because of a spelling issue or
right.
Grammar.
It's about, I think it's like $2 a month. It's like nothing. So anyway, there's that. And also I found out that there's tips. So if you want to leave tips for our social medias, you can do that too. Chop Sports Media on Twitter. You can leave tips for us and help support the brand and keep the lights on at the studio.
And we're not talking to you, Hawaii Mike. We don't need tips on how to perform. We need like money, financial tips, because I get unsolicited tips please. 3 times
no more
a day.
No more actual business tips out of
a lot of them do work. It's just like
they do. They know. Do. It's just when Miami Mike is a barber in Mattawan.
When Hawaii Mike.
Actually, like he doesn't know how to write like one sentence at all, ever. It's always like a paragraph. And don't get me wrong, it's a lot of vital information. It's just a lot. It's just like when I have like, you know, one, I have a kid here and then I got my daughter running around here and I'm just like, okay, let me read what Hawaii.
I had a conversation with him about it where I was like, look, I'm not ever ignoring you. You don't have to stop. Keep going. Because he straight up asked me, he's like, yo, is what I do annoying? And I said, no, it's not annoying. I mean, certain times I'm just not in the position because you're on a 7-hour time difference, I think, where you're messaging me at like 5 a.m. Hawaii time. Dude, I'm either A, I had just finished up a long day and now I'm finally with my girlfriend. So the last thing I could do is like pull out my phone and start doing business. And he's very understanding with how I ignore a lot of his messages, but I do have very productive conversations with him throughout the week. So
the shittiest thing in the world is knowing that somebody, I mean, and I try, I don't like to ignore people. I don't have my red receipts on my text because I can't do that. Because if I get to a text and then I'm like, I'm tied up and I can't answer it right away. That feeling of knowing somebody just read your text and then not responding to you right away is
bro,
like,
do you remember when we first started this whole thing? I accidentally had my reds on for everybody. I leave them on for Ash. We do that, but the public does not need to know that I read your text. And it went like 6 weeks and Dave was like, I finally turned them off. And you were like, oh, you turned your reds off. I was like, I can't believe they were on. So the most, it's a boomer moment. The most embarrassing. One of those things where you walk around with your flashlight on your phone and don't realize it's on. Same deal.
Perfect. So anyway, I don't like to ignore Hawaii Mike and anybody on like Facebook. Of course, Facebook is the devil and it like literally shows you when like the person like reads it and it's like, thanks, Facebook. Like I can't get back to this person right now. So Hawaii Mike sees both of our icons. And
so I'm going to give you a tip on how to screen Facebook messages. What you do is when you get the notification, don't click on the notification. Get out of that. Go to your home page of your phone and click on the app and it'll take you directly to like the entirety of all your conversations, like all the threads. And you could preview the latest one. You could see who it is and you'd be like, okay, it's Mike. Then you either decide to respond or don't.
Strategies. I love it. Yeah, I love it. Social media strategies by Chris Gucci. What up, Mark? Whenever you're with your, what does that say? Whenever you're with your girl, the last thing you do is pull out. Well, Jack, this is why some people have two kids now. So, anywho.
Yeah, my pullout game is strong.
first thing. Dude, you told me about this in pre, okay? What is going on here? Incarcerated Bob, that's where I was at. Incarcerated Bob on Twitter put a picture of Nancy Kerrigan, right? And I'm just like, what is he even talking about right now? Explain this to me. What right, happened?
So
this is incredible.
Give me a second here. I got to get the name right. Soccer player Aminata Diallo has been arrested after an attack on her teammate. So essentially what's going on is player A, Aminata Diallo, didn't attack, but paid masked men wielding metal poles to attack the teammate of hers who was starting over her. So it's a very, very similar situation to the Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding ordeal that took place, I guess, when I was like 30 in the 80s. But yeah, bro, very, very eerily similar situation. And I was watching the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and that's where I got my news. And I was kind of jealous. I'm like, you know what? This is why we should kind of go long, because it would be cool to get this news mid-show. And I know we're a little behind on it, but I couldn't not bring this up, dude. It's crazy. What would possess somebody to pay people to attack a teammate? And then the subsequent acting job that you have to do after, when you're in the locker room and your teammate gets attacked. I mean, was she a part of it?
Like looking like Shaggy, like, wasn't me. why is everybody looking at me right now? Dude, first of all, when I heard about this, all I heard right away in my head was, what is this? Did she just hire the same people? Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, we won't get into that, but that's funny. Good old Jesse Smollett. But I would say that I hear the why in the back. Remember the why? I heard that right away in my head. I'm like, this is terrible. But listen, some people want to start, man. And I guess the only way you can do it is if you take out the teammate. I don't know. That's rough, dude. When I heard this story and when you told me about this is like,
so when I heard the story, obviously they were doing like a satire bit attached to it. And I couldn't figure it out because they were talking as if it was a real serious thing. And I'm talking about the Pat McAfee show. And he was like, yeah, she's got to get her legs amputated. And he looked deadpan at the camera. And I was like, wait, she does? Like, that's fucking crazy. I don't think she does. But they really played it up. And it sent me on my, you know, investigative reporting, if you want to call it that. I did my deep dive on Google. And I found out, in fact, that I don't think her legs are going to get amputated. But it might be career threatening from what I read.
That's so that insane. Would be, I mean, look. In real life, in real time, it's sad. Like, so for somebody to go this long or these lengths to get their starting job back, I mean, that's rough.
Yeah, and we're over here making fun, and Pat McAfee did like a satire bit on it. Meanwhile, this woman had her career ruined, and she got beat by masked men because she's a soccer player. It's fucking crazy and terrible. And I'm probably going to go to hell. But
and speaking of going to hell, this is a recent shot of our boy Scottie Pippen, but yes, it's how you the caption itself, you came up with this one. But Scottie Pippen back in the news now because he's writing a book about the obviously his career and whatever. He's got a lot of nasty things to say about Michael Jordan. He says that The Last Dance was all about him and how Jordan started to feel like he was fading in the news because of the emergence of LeBron James and how there was conversations about LeBron being better than Jordan, which is bullshit, by the way. But this is just, I don't know, man. I feel like Scottie Pippen is back just to stay relevant. I heard yesterday, and you can attest to this because you're more of the NBA historian than I am. I mean, I know my old school NBA. That's kind of Scottie Pippen era is when I grew up with the Knicks. But I ask you this, Bart Scott said it, and I don't ever take anything he says serious because I really feel like he's starting to turn into one of those, you know, the talking heads that want a reaction. He says Scottie Pippen is a top 50 player of all time. Do you agree with that?
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, bro. Scottie Pippen averaged 20.7 rebounds, 7 assists for like 8 years in a row.
Now
the Bulls went to the Eastern Conference Finals and took the Knicks 7 games the year Jordan was gone. So, you know, the Bulls were a good team without Michael Jordan. Scottie Pippen is an all-time great, no question about it. I don't think that he would have had nearly the individual success or the team success if Michael Jordan wasn't on the team. But Scottie Pippen, 100%, is a top 50 of all-time NBA player, maybe even a top 30, honestly.
Now, he would dominate. Now, I will ask you, to piggyback that, do you think that Scottie Pippen would have had the career he had if Jordan wasn't even there?
Well, he would have had better individual numbers, but he wouldn't have had the 6 titles. No question about it.
So you think he has the pound for pound skill set to get it done to be a top?
Yeah, 100%, bro. He's one of the all time best wing defenders in the history of the game. On top of the fact that he was a good passer, a good rebounder, and he had a slight outside shot, but I think if he played now, that would be worked on a lot more, and he would be able to hit the three. So yeah, Scottie Pippen, no question about it. As far as basketball skills go, he's great. As far as keeping his wife in under wraps, that's another story. I'm pretty sure the entire rap game ran through Larsa Pippen and continues to do so. So I think Scottie's just a bitter guy at this point. He signed arguably the worst contract in NBA basketball history when he signed like a $1 million a year deal when Jordan was getting paid 25. So I think that's the root of all this. If Scottie Pippen had the money post-career that Michael Jordan did, I don't think he'd be writing books, et cetera. Now, there was one thing that struck me as odd where they filmed The Last Dance with the understanding that they were going to make a documentary later on down the line during the final season of the Bulls championship run. Now Michael Jordan supposedly got paid $10 million. Nobody else did. So what were you thinking then? If you knew that maybe 10, 15 years, we're going to release a documentary, it kind of nullifies the fact that it's because of LeBron. It's like this was in the works for the last 20 years. And now because you're still broke and everyone's running through your wife, you're going to fucking attack Michael Jordan. Now, Michael Jordan's taking the high road on this because obviously he's sitting on his $1 billion bankroll and he's looking at it like, you know what? Scottie's writing a book. I'm going to throw Scottie a bone. I never passed to him when we were playing. I'll throw him this one right here. It's like an assist by MJ, because I'm sure Jordan could come out and just trash Pippen if you'd like to, but there's really no need.
I just never understood the narrative or the logic. Like even in any sport, like imagine, let's take our teams, for example, when the Cowboys won the title in 92, 93, 95, right? And they should make a freaking documentary on those teams, which would be great for all Cowboys fans and football fans in general to see just how good these guys were before the free agency era. But like, imagine Michael Irvin saying like, yeah, you know, Troy, he really stunk. Like where's the animosity? Like why is Scottie Pippen so goddamn bitter? He was so successful and literally the Robin to the Batman. You know what I mean? Like why, like now of all times now. And
I think it comes down to financial reasons, and Michael Jordan post career as a team owner, he's still got the sneaker situation going on, and Scottie Pippen struggling to make money. And truth be told, controversy sells books. Maybe he doesn't even feel this way, but he knows it's his best chance to get books sold, and they're going to sell. I'll promise you that. Scottie Pippen's book is going to do well because of the Michael Jordan situation.
But
so,
what about taking the high road of basically piggybacking off of Michael Jordan right now? Why not be his best buddy? Like, maybe you can get a front office job. You know what I mean?
Bro, do you look at the picture on the graphic?
Yes.
I don't think anybody's trying to chill with Scottie at this point.
He looks like the least.
Not even his wife.
I have a question. I have an actual question. Have you ever seen Scottie Pippen and the lead singer of Digital Underground in the same place at the same time?
I have not, and this has been a thing for a while with me. You know, Scottie Pippen gave Tupac his start in the rap game, is what you're telling me.
Exactly.
I'm sure Tupac banged his wife too.
Oh man, remember that movie, Nothing But Trouble?
Yeah.
Bobo and Little Devil. They're the best. All right, let's get into some football because we have Week 10 is among us, and we will do this. Usually we like kind of end it with this, but we want to dive right into the football game. Obviously, the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Miami Dolphins here tonight. It's not a banger at all. When you looked at this schedule and the schedule came out, you could possibly say like, ooh, Lamar versus Tua. Now there's rumors that Tua might not even go again. Like, this guy is starting to turn into the biggest piece of glass in the league, whether it be a finger or a back or a hamstring or a hip or whatever. Tua may not go. It might be Jacoby Brissett against Lamar Jackson, which becomes, if you're not a Ravens fan, or you're not a Dolphins fan, this game becomes unwatchable. I mean, I'm going to watch it because I'm a football head and I watch every single game when I get a chance, as far as like if the Cowboys are not. But like, this game to me is going to be one of those laughers. I truly believe it's going to be a complete rout. Are you on the same wavelength as me, Gooch?
Yes and no. I think Baltimore has a tendency to play to their opponent's level. I think Miami has a chance. I think as crazy as it sounds, I think Tua doesn't give him as good of a chance right now to win games as Brissett. But being that they're 2-7, if Tua is ready to go, they need to get him some work. And they know that They need to see if he's the guy for the future. So if he's able to go, Tua should go. But I think right now, as far as this team goes, Jacoby Brissett is going to manage the game better. He's going to do a few things better than Tua does. He might be able to keep it a little bit closer. Miami's offense, their receivers can't stay on the field. Their running backs is like a revolving door of bad players. I don't see Miami able to do much in this game. Maybe keep it close. And that's because Baltimore hasn't really blown teams out this year, maybe one or two times, but they've almost lost to Detroit. They almost lost to the Colts. They almost lost this past week to the Vikings. They have some resolve and they do fight back in the fourth quarter. I just don't know that it's going to be a laugher like you think, because Miami, I mean, they've lost a lot of close games. I know Buffalo pounded them out, but pause. But Miami's not really playing great. I think Jacoby Brissett does dumb it down enough as to where they could make the game slower. So I wouldn't say it's a laugher, but I'm going to roll with Baltimore regardless.
All right, so a fantasy perspective, before we actually pick the game, from a fantasy perspective, is this one of those weeks you're like, all right, Myles Gaskin, let's do it? Is this a week you do that, or is this a week players, forget it?
If you have another player, then screw Myles Gaskin. But I don't have another player, so I'm definitely forced to start Gaskin this week. He's up and down. I can't figure it out with that guy. And Miami, you just don't know. They, like I said, they revolve their backs throughout the game, throughout the weeks. You just don't know which guy is going to be the one to get the ball that game. So no, I'm not sold on starting any Miami player whatsoever in any fantasy matchup unless bye weeks dictate that or injuries.
All right. So now going back to picking this game. Now this spread is relatively high, even though I think it's justified, but you kind of put this thought in my head. Whenever the spread is this high and the over under is that low, it kind of raises some flags for me. So you're a gambling man. You're going to go on where to bet these games, by the way, Coach?
Bet MGM, baby. Actually, I'm going to go on Chop Sports Media. Click the link. I'm not going to go straight to Bet MGM.
Yeah. Do ourselves a favor. Help us out. Bet MGM. The link is right on chopsportsmedia.com. Go check us out. You get a risk-free bet. So even if you think you want to bet the Dolphins and you lose, guess what? You're getting that back. So, but with that being said, -7.5. What are we thinking? It's in Miami. So right away, if this game was in Baltimore, you're looking at a double-digit spread. So do you feel like Miami can stay within the number? Because look, Jacoby Brissett, like you said, he could probably do a couple different things that Tua can do as far as a game manager is concerned, but I don't foresee him lighting up the scoreboard. And if the Baltimore Ravens are looking for a get-right game on the defensive side of the ball after doing what they did with the Vikings and letting the Vikings kind of hang around, do you find yourself hard-pressed to pick the Ravens in this game? Where are you going with this one?
I'm going to pick the Ravens because I find myself hard-pressed to figure out anything good about Miami. And looking at the two teams, obviously I'm not going to bet the game because I don't love laying the 7.5, but being that we have to pick every game, I'm going with the Ravens because they're clearly the superior team. Miami at home doesn't really do anything for me. A home game at Miami, it's like the opposing team is excited to go. They're not really, really worried about going to Miami. Right. So I'll take the Ravens in this one. Lamar showed me a lot in the second half of most of the games this year. I think he's the MVP candidate. I'm picking the team with the MVP candidate against the trash team every single time. Unless something else crazy.
I'm sticking with otherwise. By the way, I'm reminding you now on the air because I know I'll forget. There's a piece of paper on my desk at work. Take a picture of that. That's the standings. That's the picks.
I'm looking directly at your desk. I don't see a single piece of paper.
That's awesome.
I'm sure it's here somewhere.
Yeah, it's got to be there somewhere. Anyway, doesn't matter. So I am also going with the Baltimore Ravens. This could be a game where Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, if they're on the call, which I think they are, could be talking about something completely different by the end of the third quarter. You know what I mean? One of those games where you're just like, all right, so how's life? You know what I mean? Like, that's how much I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to run all over this team. Not so much pass all over this team. I like the running game here with Lamar Jackson. I like whoever they're going to toss out there. I mean, they had 18 running backs score the other day. You know what I mean? So the Ravens are finally finding their running game. I truly still believe the only Achilles heel of this Ravens offense is their passing game. But guys like Mark Andrews are showing up every week. You know what I mean? So I like the Ravens this one. I like the Ravens by double digits. I like the Ravens on the road. It doesn't matter to me. The Dolphins are a piss poor team right now with a coach that I don't know if he's going to be on the hot seat, but you know, he's just not, I don't know. The guys aren't playing for him. He's got talented dudes on this team. They're just not playing for him. The Miami Dolphins defense going into this season was supposed to be and was touted as really good. They got my boy over there, Byron Jones, you know what I mean, who's now rumored to be released in 2022, which has Cowboys Nation kind of saying, like, come on home, you know, like you and Trayvon Diggs, that'd be pretty fun. But overall, the Dolphins defense is just not living up to the billing. So give me the Ravens all day. So we'll take the Ravens there. We'll take a break right now. We're going to show you some NIL merchandise for the first time in a long time because it is November after all. You can go support all of our college athletes that are signed with us at chopsportsmedia.com, also chopsports.shop. So take a look at that. We'll come right back. We got a couple things. We want to talk a little bit of Cam Newton, who's back in the news today. And, of course, Odell has a coach that is coveting him. He wants him so bad. We'll talk about that. And, of course, we'll do our plugs and talk a little UFC. We'll be right back.
Hey, Chop Sports family, it's Jimmy Palumbo here. I am doing a stand-up show on November 27th, Saturday of Thanksgiving weekend at 7:30 p.m. at the Carteret Performing Arts and Event Center with great comedian Mike Marino. Phone number 877-849-2722 for tickets. Again, 877-849-2722, November 27th, 7:30. Jimmy Palumbo and Mike Marino live from Carteret, Central New Jersey's in the house.
What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I got a question for you. Have you ever dreamt about flipping a house or buying an investment property? I know I have. There's a reason why house flipping is out of reach for most people, and that's because of a lack of information. Flipping Made Easy is for people like you who feel drawn to the world of house flipping, but they don't have a clue as to where to start. Check out flippingmadeeasy.com. Here, you'll find comprehensive and easy to understand information about every stage of the house flipping process. You'll receive access to millions of houses ripe with flipping potential. Hundreds of expert guidance explained through research articles and easy to understand video content. And thousands of vendors for all of your house flipping needs. Subscribe to flippingmadeeasy.com and become part of the flipping community. Right now, if you use the promo code CHOP, you'll receive a free t-shirt and a 30-day, that's right, 30-day money-back guarantee. That's flippingmadeeasy.com.
Wow, that sick editing job by me, by the way. The music just cuts off like that. Go check out chopsports.shop. We got some breaking news on the Cowboys front, which I'm very, very disappointed about, very upset about. We are looking at Randy Gregory to miss the next couple weeks with a apparent calf strain. So, apparently, the Cowboys can't keep their calves in line because now that's Dak, that's Gallup, that's Gregory, that's a lot of calf strains. Very upset and pissed off about that. I will be starting, I mean, I guess I can plug it. I mean, there's no reason why I can't. I will be recording a brand new podcast on the Blogging the Boys Podcast Network tonight entitled The 2-Minute Warning, which is basically the preview show for the final, basically final thoughts. I'll be joined by Tony Catalina and Aiden from Blogging the Boys, so I'm excited about that, but I guess that's something else to talk about, which kind of sucks. More NFL news that popped up today. Cam Newton potentially meeting with Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers today. A lot of funny jokes going around on the old Twitterverse. People are like, hey, here's a Photoshopped image of potentially Cam Newton in a Panthers uniform. Clearly, yes, it would be a reunion. So Cam Newton back to Carolina, possibly. Now, Cam Newton, officially not vaccinated. That's a big deal, okay? That is a big, big deal because of the status of their coach, Ron Rivera, who is a cancer survivor and all this other. It's just a different ball. You're shaking your head. No.
Because their coach is Matt Rhule.
Wow. You're right. Why am I? Wow. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I don't. You're shaking your head, and I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. There you go, Jack. Thanks for saving my butt on that one, too. And so is Gooch. I am in another world. But anyway, Matt Rhule will be meeting with Cam Newton today. Dude, I need
and we are not sure what Matt Rhule thinks about the vaccine status of Cam Newton, but he does not. He is not an at-risk, I don't know, candidate. He's not Ron Rivera. He's not a Ron Rivera.
No, he's not Ron Rivera. So he's not a cancer survivor. So anyway.
But Cam still sucks. So that's the real issue here.
Sucks. I'm finally, like I said, I'm kind of leaning towards every time we hear about Cam Newton is like very similar to the Colin Kaepernick thing. Like people are just going to bring up his name every time there's a quarterback spot open and then he won't get signed. And then they're like, well, but why? You know what I mean? Like this is going to happen. It's not getting blackballed by any stretch.
I think there is some legs to this one.
Yeah, well, I mean, the
mainly because of the Carolina situation, and I know that the fan base will probably be split on it because I don't think Carolina thinks Cam is going to be the answer. But as like a stopgap, because Darnold's out, there is a potential to save what is left of this season, if there is anything left of this season. But mainly, I think Cam will sell a lot of tickets because I know a lot of fans in Carolina are big Cam Newton fans, and that's never going to change. There is probably some guys that were happy to see him go because of the way he was playing, but in a season that I think is otherwise lost, I don't know that Cam isn't a good idea to go to Carolina and throw 10 picks in six games.
I will say definitely going to be throwing some picks. There was a meme on the Chop Sports Facebook group yesterday about Sam Darnold, and it was I was rolling. Apparently, Sam Darnold has an incomplete fracture, and they said he can't even complete a fracture. So, that was great. That I don't know good. If he fixes what.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if he fixes the problems in Carolina right now. You're rolling with Texas Walker Ranger or whatever. What's his name? PJ Walker,
who I think is a better version of Cam right now. Honestly, yeah, he's more athletic.
He's an XFL stud for where the XFL was around again for a second time for a cup of coffee. They're coming back next year. Very excited because why not? More football. Good quality football? Probably not. But, you know, still football after all in the springtime nonetheless. But Cam Newton, I've always said he stunk. It's so funny that we bring this up now because it's hilarious because I think when we first started this podcast, or at least doing it, from our first studio, we had a conversation about Cam Newton stinking. And here we are, 2021, late 2021, in November. Guess what? We're talking about Cam Newton stinking once again. I don't think he's the solve here. It could be a lost season for Carolina if they don't have their starting quarterback. But PJ Walker, I mean, look, I think he can make more plays than Cam could. So I would ride that out. I would ride that out 100%. All right, so more news here. We have some Odell stuff, which I heard yesterday, which, again, I don't like talking about Odell Beckham every day, but this is something, it's in the news, it's there. He said he's going to be taking a couple days to make his decision. I can't wait till ESPN turns this into a special of some variation, like the decision for Odell Beckham or where he's going.
As long as they let Adam Schefter cover it, he'll only give one side. So we could talk about that too, how Adam Schefter should be fired, but that's another story altogether.
Wait, why?
The Dalvin Cook situation. Adam Schefter is only reporting, like he released tweets, not to get off the Cam situation, I mean the Odell situation for a second, but Adam Schefter released, when he tweeted yesterday the news, he got out in front of it and he only tweeted one side. He pretty much painted Dalvin Cook as the victim, whereas I don't think Dalvin Cook is the victim of anything in this case. Maybe he is being extorted a little bit and that's after the fact, but if someone beat my ass and they were an NFL player, you know what I would do? I'd be like, hey, you better pay me some hush money. Otherwise, you could call it extortion. I'm calling it like I'm getting my due. So right. Adam Schefter tweeted that Dalvin Cook was a victim of a extortion and a domestic violence case, whereas it's like completely the opposite as far as what the police report was saying and things like that. So I don't know if there even is a police report. I just made
good
that
old
up.
Schefty yeah, doing it.
Schefter's a hack. He basically admitted that he fucked up, but admission that you fucked up should lead to
sources
you being
have said that I have
fired.
Fucked up.
Yes, sources.
Sources. So anyway, back to Bill Belichick wanting OBJ in New England. You wrote bad. Do you not like, I don't know. How do you feel about this? Because look, we said it yesterday when there was linked, you said it on the podcast at 11 o'clock in the morning yesterday. And all of a sudden the big wigs and the guys with more followers were starting to chime in about it around 4 PM, 5 PM yesterday. Gooch was the first one. I'm telling you right now, you were the first and only one in the history of everybody.
It was just what I said was going to happen. And the Patriots have a little bit more money to offer than the Packers do. I think where Odell really wants to go is Green Bay, and I'm warming up to the idea because of the reasons I stated. And there's also, I stated all my reasons on the Packers Pulse, which is now out. Episode 2 is available now. So if you're a Packer fan and you want to hear what I got to say, then go check that out on all streaming platforms. But yeah, I'm warming up to the idea of Odell because I think our locker room chemistry could withstand a guy coming in for 11 games and not fucking it up. If things work out, we could give him a little bit of an extendo when it's all said and done. But right now, I think it's a high risk and low risk, high reward situation for Odell in Green Bay. If he doesn't play and he sucks, then we're back to square one with what we have. If he does actually find the fountain of youth, we'll call it, then Odell will be a nice addition. That said, Belichick, I think, is going to be able to offer Odell a little more long-term security as of now.
I think so too.
But I think that partially what maybe makes Odell back off of New England, because I don't know that he really wants to sign for past this season. I think he would like to visit free agency. He's never been a free agent in the offseason in his career so far. So,
well, I will say this about Odell Beckham Jr. I don't like the guy, and that's not new breaking news. I'll say this. If he can latch on with a team right now, like in the middle of November, right, and declare himself a free agent at the end of this year, you're probably going to get the best version of Odell Beckham from now until the end of the year.
Exactly, exactly, which is why I would like Green Bay to maybe up their offer a little bit. I know that Green Bay put an offer out there on the table, and it was for the minimum, but Mike Florio, who's the resident Packer hater at Pro Football Talk, tweeted out and said many people in the industry are viewing this as like a veiled attempt to sign Odell to please the fan base, but there's no actual. And then an hour later, they had reported that the Packers upped their offer to a little over $1 million. So Mike Florio just doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Florio's, and he likes to talk shit specifically about my Green Bay Packers, but that's another story.
Oh, he talks a lot of shit about the Cowboys too. Florio is, he's lost credibility.
I just think that what's going to happen is right before Odell signs anywhere, Belichick said to him, "Hey, before you sign anything, come back to me and I'll see if I can make it better for you over here." I think that's what the whole thing is. Odell's going through his options. I do think that he will take less money to play in Green Bay, but I'm not sure how much less. You know, he's going to have to get a little over $1 million, and we'll see.
Not going to happen this weekend though. Money talks, man. Money talks. And I'm telling you right now, like if the, let's just say the Green Bay offer is $1 million flat, right? If Belichick comes over there and says, "We'll give you three," he's going to New England. I'm sorry. You're not turning around $2 million, because God forbid something happens after this season and like you can't play anymore. You got to get that financial security. You're on the wrong side.
I think he is owed 6 point something million left, or 4 point something he's going to get after the Browns cut him. But he did get the 2.3 already this year. So this season's earnings are going to total around $6 or $7-8 million without the money that he gets from whatever team he signs with. So you could make the case that him going to New England for $2 million more could actually be a detriment to him in free agency, because I think he will have a better showing in Green Bay. He'll probably play deep into the playoffs, have a chance to really etch himself in Packer lore, and potentially re-up with a contending team that's built now. And I hate to say this, but do they end up giving Odell a little bit of that money that Devontae wants? I know the reason why they're not giving him all four right now is because if they do, then it completely takes an extension for Devontae off the table. If they could actually give Devontae the extension now and fix the roster situation, the salary cap, then they could sign whoever the fuck they want. But Devontae's not doing that midseason, he said. So,
yeah, no, and most people don't. They got to wait for things to play out. But ideally, do you think? I know Aaron hasn't been in physical contact with anybody because of all the bullshit, but do you think Aaron Rodgers is politicking for this at all?
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Maybe not with Odell, but I think that Aaron Rodgers is definitely
within the organization
now, an open dialogue with the entire Packers front office, and kind of that whole thing is fixed, by the way. The whole offseason drama, I think it's been obvious what the Packers have done. Once they made the trade for Cobb, I think that kind of gave me the impression that, you know what, the Packers buckled. Rodgers is getting what he wants. And we saw on Sunday that you got to give Rodgers what he wants, because Jordan Love is not ready.
Not ready. It may not be it at all. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to judge somebody off of one game, so I'm not going to do that, because I've seen terrible starts out of rookie quarterbacks. Even though he's not a rookie, I've seen terrible starts out of guys that have turned their entire careers around. All right, so we'll see.
So I mean, wait, again, before we wrap this up, I want a prediction out of you. Where does Odell go?
If there's two options, I mean, there's only two options. If you're chasing the money, he's going to go to New England. If he's chasing the ring potential this year, he's going to Green Bay. I think you rule out New Orleans. I think you rule out Kansas City. Kansas City, for whatever reason, was rumored. I can't foresee, like, they just gave
Mahomes way worse of a situation than the Packers are in financially. Right. I don't think
if it's financial, I think Bill pulls some strings and gets him in New England, because they truly haven't had a number one receiver since Randy Moss. I mean, it's been that long, right? So they haven't had a guy to take over for a long, long time. So if it's money, New England. If it's championship and he wants the ring, or at least an attempt to get a ring, it's Green Bay. That's where I'm going with it. There is some UFC going down this Saturday. It's a free card, I believe. Yes. It's on ESPN Plus or Fox. I'm not even sure.
It's not on Fox. It's never going to be on Fox again.
Okay. What?
Yeah, Fox and UFC are done.
FS1, all ESPN. No? Oh, all right. Anyway, ESPN Plus, go get it. The main card is obviously the better of you know, there are prelims and whatever, but the main event is what everybody's kind of looking into. Max Holloway returns to the cage. The last time we saw Max, he put on a mother effing show, man. So where do you got this one? Is it necessarily a title eliminator? Like, the loser of this, are we not talking about them anymore? You know, Holloway's had his checkered pass, and he's won some really big fights relatively recently, but, you know, he's also lost a lot of fights. So, like, it's just kind of...
The only guy that has his number in the featherweight division is the champ, and the second fight, you can make the case that Holloway won that fight. I think he won that fight. He was up two rounds to none early, quick, very convincingly, and then the third round was very close, fourth round was close, and then the fifth round, Volkanovski turned it up. I think because he was the champ, they gave it to him at the time, but very close fight. I think for Max, if he wins, he's going to get a title shot, because if you look at the top of that division, there's just nobody else. So you're going to give it to Ortega, just got his ass beat. There's just nobody else at the top. Korean Zombie. Max beat all these guys. For him to have to go through it again and just to prove that he is either the first or second best at the weight class in the world, I think it's all day. Max is minus 750 favorite in this one. Yair is a tough guy, but I just don't think that he's on Max's level. No matter where the fight goes, I think Max has him a little bit. Stand up, he's clearly better outside of a chance of him getting caught. But even, have you ever seen Max Holloway get caught? You know, he gets caught, but he doesn't really get sparked by anybody. I don't think Yair hits as hard as Volkanovski does. I don't see the fight playing out any other way than Max by domination, five rounds to none. But he probably gets the finish before that just by an onslaught, TKO.
I'm with it. I'm with that prediction. It's not totally out of the realm of possibilities. Again, if you're a UFC MMA fan, go check that card out this weekend. And also, Chopheads MMA podcast, it releases every Tuesday or Wednesday, depending on how good it is or how early they record. But go check those guys out. It's Chris Gucci, and of course, it's Tommy D, and maybe coming soon, another co-host as well coming into the scene, because we're one big, happy mother effing family. And by the way, great traction on the Oral Roberts stuff yesterday that we talked about with Kyle Kerbs. He caught the show late, so he didn't even know we talked about it until the end. They rewound it, rewatched it, him and Dina, the pick bish, they watched it, they were rolling. So listen, sometimes you just got to bring up some of this, the checkered pass, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of stuff going on tonight, as a matter of fact, because you have your NFL game. That's going to go down tonight. It's the Ravens, it's the Dolphins. Go check those guys out. As far as some plugs are concerned, I'd be remiss and hard pressed not to plug this because, well, our phones have been blowing up for the last 24 hours about it. We do know that Jimmy Palumbo will be returning to Carteret. That's right, New Jersey's own Jimmy Palumbo returns to Carteret. He's going to be performing with Mike Marino and Jack Jr. over at the Carteret Performing Arts Center on Saturday night, November the 27th, 7:30.
Also, guys, when you show up and you see Jimmy walk out on stage, he doesn't look like that anymore. He's now old.
Not at all.
And a fat fuck. So, and I can say old. That because he says that. So, Jimmy, if you're watching.
We're totally allowed to say stuff like that because he's self-detrimental to himself. But I will say this. Jimmy Palumbo, and this might be being a little overzealous about Jimmy right now, but I feel like, Chris, Jimmy Palumbo's on fire right now. There's a lot of stuff going on with Jimmy.
I'm very excited for this show because Jimmy's fucking hilarious. As much as we talk shit back and forth, Jimmy, it's always a good time when Jimmy Palumbo's in studio, for better or for worse. Even when we have our moments of beef, it ends in laughs. So Jimmy's a great guy. Honestly, I can't wait to go see him perform. I've seen Jimmy on the big screen. I've seen him on the boob tube. I've seen him on the YouTube. I've seen him in studio. I have yet to see Jimmy Palumbo on stage presenting his comedy, and I'm very excited for it. So guys, it's not too expensive, it's local. Go check out your boy.
I have a show, WrestlePro show in Rahway, so I'm literally in the next town over. I might try to do the old double dip, you know, try to do my show, get it done, get back into Carteret before Jimmy goes on, because there are a couple opening acts. I got on to Mike Marino's live stream today, and Mike Marino, funny dude, very popular. His comedy, very, very good, very Italian-based New Jersey comedy. And if you know what that means, like, you know. And go check out Mike Marino, his Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. We'll talk to him as this gets closer. We'll promote this a couple more times, obviously, with the show coming up. at the end of November. So what better way to spend all the money that you have left after Black Friday to go spend it on Jimmy Palumbo's show? Go buy some merch. Go on chopsports.shop for all the merch. We do have hoodies. I'm purchasing another hoodie today, as a matter of fact. I want the blue one because I have this black one that I keep wearing, and you know, I've washed it about 54 times and nothing's wrong with it. So it's perfect. It's still the best hoodie in the world. It is hoodie season. Go check out chopsports.shop to go support your boys and the brand. Go also YouTube, please go subscribe to the YouTube channel. We have just over, 200 people over there. Instagram from 1,000 followers, in which I will personally give you a something, some kind of giveaway. I don't know what it's going to be, but we're going to do something for the 1,000 follower. Organic followers, so don't unfollow and follow again. I'm watching you. We see the updates. It's not like whatever. Yeah, actually, you know what? AJ needs to hook me up with that app. He has like an app that like shows you when people unfollow you. I mean, it seems a little psychotic.
You make it seem like AJ invented the app and he has it in his back pocket tucked away somewhere. Dave, you could just go fucking download the app. Just go ask anyone around AJ's age and be like, yo, what's that app where I can see who does what on my Instagram, and they'll let you know.
What is that psychotic application that shows you and tracks who's there? But anyway, according to Ashley, no, that's not Ashley. According to Ashley, the 1,000th follower is fake, though. No, Ashley, they're not fake. They're actually supporting the company.
I get what she's saying. She's like, because you haven't followed yet,
some people
you're being fake. But I get it.
I get that part. It steals your info, says Dina. So maybe not get that app. Let's not get that app. But for the new people, that's what Chop Sports is trying to do. We are trying to get on the map. So there are, imagine this. I know. We live in this world where we think that everybody and their mother knows about Chop Sports. The problem is they don't. So the 1,000 follower, I hope you're just discovering us for the first time. And I hope you see our Instagram.
Bro, it is crazy, though, when we see certain people that are very, very heavily involved in what we're doing. And they're like, oh, I'm going to go follow you now. I'm like, bro, you're watching the fucking show every day.
That is the fake part about that. So in that regard, yes, Ashley is correct with that one. But look, we're trying to get out there. We got some really cool things lined up for the new year. We're going to be pushing forward. I'm going to be back in studio next week to get everything done and just, you know, me and Gooch put our brains together and build this bitch. And then, right to the moon, right to the mother effing moon. So with that being said, we have some Thursday night football. Go enjoy that. Go enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to the Chop Sports Daily and all of our podcasts. And a couple new podcasts dropped today. Till Mets Do Us Part came out with Matt Ibanez and John Sapanaro. Be sure to go check those guys out. They had a guest, Tim Ryder, I believe. He writes for the Apple. Big, decent following with Tim Ryder. I think it's Tim Ryder, Timothy Ryder, on social media. Go check those guys out. I'm Your Football Team just dropped another banger of an episode from Keith Ernst. One of my co-hosts of the Jersey Boys podcast is also on our network. Shout out to Keith Ernst, who also called me out on not putting his show on the graphic that I made for the network. So that's my bad, as they say on the streets, my bad. So again, I have lost sleep. I haven't slept. It's just there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do. And we got move-in day next week for Joe Pizzamenti. We got the Pick Bish and Kyle. They're coming on in December 1st. We're getting rid of the acupuncturist, literally putting her on the street. Hopefully, maybe.
I was just going to say it's Thursday, so I'm going to lock myself in the studio all day because it's Cold War vibes in the studio for sure. Just,
next thing you know, knock, knock, knock. Like, oh, my God. So anyway, for Sturch and Gooch, thank you guys for joining us every day. That's right. Tell your friends if they're tired of watching the talking heads on ESPN and every other FS1 and all these other garbage organizations that are putting together garbage. Tell them to tune into us 11 to 1 or 11 to 12 every day. We tell you how it is. We are no bullshit. Gloves are off. Let's do it. For Sturch and Gooch, another episode in the can. And we'll see you guys on a football feel good Friday. Let's get it going.
And yes, Ash, I didn't promote the Packers Pulse yet because I just released it at like 11. So time to go promote now. Dave, you could do that for me?